I'm Mandy Bell.
And I'm Sarah Langs.
We're reporters for MLB.com, and our new podcast, Fielding Questions, will explain why baseball players are so superstitious, what separates the best ballparks from the rest, and all those other things you always wanted to know about baseball. You know, the greatest sport in the world.
You can subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Mandy Bell.
And I'm Sarah Langs.
We're reporters for MLB.com, and our new podcast, Fielding Questions, will explain why baseball players are so superstitious, what separates the best ballparks from the rest, and all those other things you always wanted to know about baseball. You know, the greatest sport in the world.
You can subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My aunt and uncle in the Appleton area on Monday afternoon. We did it early since being in Central Time, the first NFL game on Monday was kicking off at 6:15 Central Time. And so we wanted to get out early. And by the time I woke up, they were past lunch, but it was too early for dinner. So we just decided we would go in the middle. Anyway, we went to a restaurant, and before we sat down, even my uncle noticed that there were two people in the booth behind us that were completely decked out in Vikings purple. Why is that significant? Well, because in Wisconsin, there are not very many people who would dare to wear their Vikings purple. But these Vikings fans were obviously looking forward to Monday Night Football and were feeling pretty confident about being out and about and purple and proud in Packers land, Packers territory, because of what happened in week number one when the Vikings beat the Packers and really strangled the Packers 24-7. There was not a whole lot of breathing room for Aaron Rodgers and the offense, and it was total domination. Fittingly enough, that was the final score of the game between the Eagles and Vikings, though Vikings on the wrong end of the Monday night game. So who are the real Vikings, and will they please stand up? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've been asking you, which team should have been the most mortified on Monday? And certainly there are now more teams that we could add to that mix. I mean, some of you were pointing to other teams in the NFC North, like the Bears, after Sunday Night Football. But I suppose we could put both Titans and Vikings in that category, because there's plenty of misery to go around 2 weeks into the NFL season. So let's talk about these Minnesota Vikings, who never really got off the mat against the Eagles, with Luke Braun, who has the Locked On Vikings podcast. And to the best of my knowledge, and I can't keep up with all of his social media exploits, but it feels like, Luke, that you tweet and post about the Vikings year-round. Don't you ever take a break? Do the Vikings ever wear you out?
What's a break? No, Locked On Vikings is a year-round show. Rain, snow, or shine. We talk about in the summer, we do retrospective and storytelling and stuff, and then, you know, it's got draft season and everything. No days off.
All right, no days off, Bill Belichick. Okay, so what happened to the Vikings on Monday night? Why didn't we see the Vikings from the Packers game in the season opener?
It feels like they went away from everything that made them successful before. They went to a much more vanilla, much more conservative defensive plan. They took all the pre-snap motion out of their offense. They just went away from everything that was working and instead put – it's like they overthought the Eagles, and they thought that, you know, they to beat the Eagles, they needed to do something totally different than everything they had put on tape. But that meant they went away from everything they were good at. And they just came out totally flat, and by the end of the game, they were all in a blind panic, and I think, honestly, the game broke their spirit. You get punched in the mouth like that. You go into halftime down 24-7. Do you have it in you to make a rally? Off defensively, kind of. They pulled it together. They ended up not giving up any more points. Offensively, didn't score any other points, and they sure did have opportunities to. So I think the team kind of let the game get to them, Kirk Cousins in particular.
Why would they change the game plan?
It's new head coach has got to learn that lesson to not go away from what you're good at, you know? There's a lot of lessons that you learn, that head coaches learn, and when you get a new one, you got to wait while they learn all those lessons for the first time, because everybody's got that thing where they go, man, we just totally overthought that, and we probably should have just stuck with what was working, but we didn't, and we decided that we're going to come out with this totally new game plan, and that'll super catch them off guard, and then realize that they get paid on the other side too, and they can just beat that easier because now you're doing something you're not good enough at. I think they just kind of outthought themselves.
I was fairly surprised by the number of chunk plays that the Eagles were able to amass in this game. And also, I don't know what the strategy on defense, but why did it seem like every single Philadelphia wide receiver was wide open all game long?
Just a horrifyingly bad performance because everything was uncontested. I'm pretty sure Jalen Hurts set a career low for throws into tight windows. And I'm pretty sure he approached 400 yards on the game. Like, he just didn't have to do any hard throws. The Vikings made it super easy on him, which is really, really frustrating. It was very passive. It was very conservative. It was very, we'll just sit back, keep everything in front of us, we'll rally and tackle. But that stops working when in front of us is a 15-yard gain. The Locked On Vikings podcast for Tuesday is going to go up shortly here. I just recorded it. I ripped into Ed Donatell. I think of all people, if you want to find one name that deserves the most blame, and that is a pie that is being shared by a lot of people, so it's certainly not just him. But Ed Donatell probably gets the biggest piece of that pie. That is a dreadful game plan when you're so scared of A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert. Good players. Good to respect them. But when you're so scared of them that you play this passive, soft zone, and by the way, players deserve some of the blame too, and they'll be the first to tell you that, that they didn't execute very well at all, and they didn't do those zone pass-offs very well. They kind of stayed on their landmarks a little bit too long. So it was really easy to just kind of tell the receivers, hey, just sit down in a zone, and Jalen Hurts put the ball on him. And it was like they were thrown on air. It was just like way too easy. They basically just sat. They were so scared of losing the game, they lost the game.
So that's what you would call it, a passive soft zone. It's something new for the NFL, passive and soft.
Yeah, Charmin Ultra Soft, and they better get that fixed because they got a short week coming up.
Luke Braun is with us to talk Vikings and this split personality we've seen in the first 2 weeks. He's got the Locked On Vikings podcast and no days off because there's plenty to talk about. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All right, another question I have then. I get that the Eagles were playing some strong defense, and once they got behind, they weren't thrilled about going slowly to try to pick up points. You can understand why they'd want to throw the ball more, I suppose. But why so little attention to the run game? Why so little balance with the run game?
That's going to be Kevin O'Connell, I think. I really don't think he cares about the run game. I don't think he cares about it on offense or on defense. He's a quarterback's coach. He's a quarterback. He's a passing guy. He's been a passing game coordinator. He wants to throw on you. And coming off of Mike Zimmer, a lot of people in Minnesota wanted exactly that. That's what the doctor ordered after we came off of a defensive, grind them out, kind of let's win every game 17-16 kind of coach. Kevin O'Connell wants to throw, and throw some more. There comes a point where you tip the scale too far to the other side. And I think what was like 6 carries for 17 yards for Dalvin Cook, that might be that point. Now you're chasing the game for a lot of it. So some of that's just going to be part like game situation. But you've got to get something going on the ground. You have to be able to run your staples and your bread and butter calls. Even the Rams, Sean McVay, famously pass happy, and it's where Kevin O'Connell came from. They still had their staple runs that were their bread and butter that they could go to on a 2nd and 4 and convert it, and they just didn't get that. I think they were really quick to abandon it. It didn't work, and now we're getting behind, and they didn't have that patience. And I think just in general, the whole team had a feel of panic about it, this feeling of, oh no, the game's getting away from us. They're going to start jumping things wrong. They bust a coverage, give up a 51-yard field goal. Kirk Cousins throwing up fades off his back foot that are basically gains of 500 in your dad's backyard. Just like panic from top to bottom, from the coaching decisions and everything. Just deer in headlights. It looked like a team of rookies. And I think part of that is being run by a whole bunch of people who have never done their job before. Ed Donatell, and he's been a defensive coordinator before, but it's been a while. You know, Kevin O'Connell's never been a head coach before. Their quarterback's coach never has been a quarterback's coach before. And a lot of people getting their feet wet, and a lot of people got punched in the mouth for the first time tonight, and you could tell it was the first time.
Well, that makes sense because there are some growing pains for coaches, too, and we are seeing it around the league. It's not as though Kevin O'Connell is in that boat all by himself, Nathaniel Hackett. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Luke Braun is with us with Locked On Vikings and trying to dissect what happened with them. I got to tell you this, Luke. I knew they weren't running the ball a ton because that was pretty apparent, but it's jarring to see Kirk Cousins as your leading rusher. That should never happen. I don't care how bad the game is or how it's going. That should never, ever happen.
You're preaching to the choir. You got to stick with it. I know I sound like way too old school here, but you can't give up after six attempts in a whole game, even if you're chasing it. You know, if it's the third quarter and you're down three scores, you got a whole half. You got to be able to show a little bit of multiplicity. Because when you can't, when you can just back off and go empty every play and you're going to play this spread offense like you're in the SEC, they're just going to tee off on you. And that's exactly what happened. They just started blitzing every play with total reckless abandon. And then they got panic Kirk Cousins. And panic Kirk Cousins just flat out loses games. I think that's a lesson you got to learn. And it's unfortunate that they had to learn it in a live game that mattered on the national stage in prime time. Kind of wish we could have navigated things in such a way where you could learn that lesson before it counted so much.
Well, two plays that I will say that weren't on Kirk Cousins. One, that Irv Smith drop or the ball that went right through his hands would have been a huge gain. He was behind the defense. And then was it the Darius Slay interception at the goal line where clearly Justin Jefferson had broken off his route. And according to Paul Allen, I just happened to see his tweet. He mentioned that JJ went right over to Kirk immediately when they got off the field and said, hey, that was my fault. I'm real sorry.
Yeah.
So not completely on him, but as you point out, it did not look like they were sticking to any kind of a game plan, and it was much more reacting and reactive than it was dictating. But about Justin Jefferson, he obviously had a record-setting season opener. He's a guy now that a lot of people will point to and say is the best receiver in the league, but definitely in the top three, if not the best. Where have you seen the greatest growth in his game, even as he gets to the point where he's feared around the NFL?
Yeah, well, so not the best night for him, but we got to zoom out
past
it,
right?
Not be prisoners of the moment, because he's a fantastic player. And I think the biggest thing for me is there is this artistic quality to his routes. I've been calling them art. I've been saying throughout camp and preseason, well, he didn't play in preseason, but throughout camp, he looked like he was really pushing the boundaries of what a route can be, where, you know, really when you're coaching a route, when you're telling someone how to run a route or what the play is, really all you care about is that they're in particular spots at particular times. You know, get to 16 yards at this spot and then break here and then get here where the ball is supposed to be. And really you don't care what happens in between so long as you get there on time. And what happens in between usually is running, right? But if you add a little bit more deception, a little bit more lean, everything that Justin Jefferson does is so subtle. His routes, like, to the naked eye, they don't look like they're covered in all this window dressing, but then you break down little details, just a tiny little lean, just enough to get the safety to think that he needs to widen out a little bit so you can cut inside him, that kind of stuff. There's so much subtlety and nuance to it that allow him to get open. And then once he has the ball in his hands, he's just a gamer. Like, he just is relentless and tenacious. You even saw it on a bunch of the catches tonight. You know, he'd catch a stupid little spot route 5 yards downfield and he needs to get a first down. No, it's second and eight, so you could just go down, and a lot of wide receivers would just kind of turn around, dive forward, take your thing, not take a huge hit and move on. That's fine. But no, he's dancing around. He's finding a way. He's pushing through people. He's just, there's a very never give up attitude to the way that he, like, once he has the ball in his hands. And that's the kind of thing that led to that touchdown I'm sure you've all seen against the Packers last week, where he's, you know, diving toward the pylon. Like, that's a very, like, every wide receiver but Justin Jefferson just kind of trots out of bounds at the four and says good play. But no, he wants everything all the time. And I love that attitude and that mentality. Kind of wish the rest of the team had it for throughout this game, because I think there was a little bit of quit in the Vikings tonight.
Well, it certainly can be contagious. So we've seen the best and we've seen the worst, and we'll see what else happens in September. At least we know it's not just Minnesota. There's inconsistency and there are these split personalities all over the NFL through the first 2 weeks of the regular season. You had a chance to see the Packers in week number one, and I was actually at Lambeau Field on Sunday night against the Bears. And so they are 1-1 as well, as is the rest of the division. But what are your impressions of, you know, Chicago and Green Bay, of course, that the Vikings played in the first week? And Detroit is still a work in progress. But I don't know, how competitive is the division this year?
Still feels a bit like a two-team race to me. Detroit is surging. And great game for them against the Commanders. I want to see a little more to believe it. And, hey, they're coming to U.S. Bank Stadium, so I'll get it. I'll get a healthy dose of it, but I guess I want to see them sustain that success a little bit before they prove to me that they really are for real. The Bears, to borrow a phrase, they are who we thought they were. They are not taking this season seriously, and they deserve every insult you can possibly throw at them because of it. They're trotting out practice squad players. Their roster has like 8 players that were cut from other teams that were waiver claims. They just are not taking this season seriously. They decided this is the year we fix our cap issues and get nothing else done, which is a really bad thing to do when you got a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract. I hate the way that the Bears have done this. As much as I wish them ill as a division rival, not like this. Be competitive. Try. Come on. It's no fun. It's like when your friend in your fantasy league stops setting their lineup. And it's like, I guess like you get the win, but this is not what this is supposed to be. And that's kind of how I feel the Bears were. And so Sunday night kind of went the way I thought it would going into the season. And week one might have been a little weird, and maybe the natural order is resetting a little bit. The Packers will be a fearsome force, and the division belongs to them until somebody proves that they can put a consistent season together. And, well, everyone's 1-1.
That's true. And actually, the Packers had more points in the second quarter on Sunday night than the other 7 quarters combined to this point. So they're not consistent yet either. I mean, they've got a long way to go, too. But it is still a division that they have owned for years now. All right. So Luke Braun, before I let you go, and I'll just tell people, you can find Luke on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. He not only tweets about Vikings and his podcast and whatever else is happening in the NFL, but he also tweets photos and videos of bunnies. I need to know more about these rabbits and how do they predict games, because apparently they get victory pellets when they get the outcome correct.
Well, or they get sympathy defeat pellets if they're not. But so my rabbits, ZD and Zoe, they're little chinchilla breed dwarf rabbits, if anybody knows what that means. That's just the kind of rabbit that they are. They're great. They're evil incarnate. And I just put a little veggies, a little bit of their veggies down on like either side of a plate. And just like one side is Vikings, one side is Eagles, and they pick against the spread. And I had that, like whichever veggie they go up to. And I did that for every game last year. And Zoe picked 11-4-1.
No way.
She had one push and she refused 1 week because she was not feeling it. So she walked away. 11-4-1 against the spread. She beat Vegas. I can't imagine. Like, people started getting on the bandwagon, and they just started betting whatever Zoe picked, and they made money. I'm people. It was unbelievable. So, of course, I got to do it again. And, hey, they both picked Philly -2.
Wow. Well, ZD, as in, like, the pasta ZD?
Yeah.
ZD and Zoe are clearly much smarter than the rest of us. That's impressive. And also very cute. The aunt and uncle that I'm staying with in Wisconsin, they have rabbits too. I think they're Alvin and Teddy, or Alvin and Theodore. That's where it came from. Oh. And my favorite thing to pet them. Now, they're a little skittish sometimes, but they are so soft. Petting a rabbit, it just makes you happy. So I highly recommend.
Yes.
And yours are adorbs too. So it breaks kicks up the football intensity to have photos and videos of rabbits. So definitely check it out on Luke's Twitter. Again, at Luke Braun NFL. He's got the Locked On Vikings podcast, which never takes a day off. And we're always glad to have him here on the show. Luke, we'll catch up again soon when we figure out this NFC North and the personality of the Minnesota Vikings.
Happy to. Thanks, Amy.
All right. See, people have more dimensions than just football or sports or what we do for a living. Whenever people say something ridiculous like stick to sports or can you only talk about sports on your show, my response is no, because I've got pets like Luke does, and I have other interests and other activities and a whole nother life outside of work. And so it's fun when we have guests on to stalk them on their Facebook or their Twitter and to figure out what else in their life is important to them and what else is going on in their lives. So I appreciate Luke. And yes, Zeedee. That's a fantastic name for a bunny. Zeedee and Zoe are adorable, so check them out on Luke's Twitter. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. One really cute story. I don't know if it's as cute as Zeedee, but one really cute story from my time with my family on Monday afternoon that I want to share with you. We're going to catch up on Major League Baseball because we've got a playoff picture that is coming together. And, of course, your poll results from the Monday mortification and the most mortifying Monday of any NFL fan base. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence from Green Bay 107.5 The Fan. I appreciate them accommodating me, though they're ignoring me now because there's nobody else here. I'm the only person in the entire building. But it's
home to all the jaw-dropping moments, home to all the best plays in the league, home to your favorite players from the cities you love. MLB.tv is the home of streaming baseball. Home or away, catch all the MLB action this season with live and on-demand content across all your devices. Enjoy MLB Big Inning, select pregame and postgame coverage, and an expanded library of highlights and content. Never miss a moment of the action with MLB.tv. Stream every game from every team all season long with MLB.tv. Blackout and other restrictions apply.
I'm Mandy Bell.
And I'm Sarah Langs.
We're reporters for MLB.com, and our new podcast, Fielding Questions, will explain why baseball players are so superstitious, what separates the best ballparks from the rest, and all those other things you always wanted to know about baseball. You know, the greatest sport in the world.
You can subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now you can enjoy MLB Play, the one app with all your favorite free MLB games. Enjoy Beat the Streak, Quick Pick, and more. Enjoy competing against friends. Enjoy unlocking exclusive rewards. Plus, your chance to win $5.6 million. Download MLB Play. Enjoy the app. Enjoy the show. MLB Play.
No purchase necessary. Must be 21 or older to enter Beat the Streak, which ends at the conclusion of the MLB regular season or when the grand prize is won. Restrictions apply. See MLB.com/play for official rules.
Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace, offering everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. Extensive options, ease of selection, and flexibility at your fingertips help make sure your time is wonderfully spent. Viator is the place to go to book experiences that will create long-lasting moments that make lifetime memories. And Viator has over 300,000 bookable experiences to choose from in over 190 countries. In fact, just last year, Viator